Welcome to Hype Special number 7. This is our special episode all about Mockingjay Part 2. I'm Marima, and this is a hostile takeover of our usual Hype episode. I'm joined by our regular Hype hosts. We have Selena, we have Pamela, we have Kyle. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
I like that we just decided, even if you hosted, Selena, I would just take over, so I may as well
There
just do
was
it.
no point in like even pretending like you're not going to lead this discussion.
Yeah. Well, you don't know. I've somewhat struggled to articulate my feelings about Mockingjay now that it's over.
Yeah.
But I guess we're going to jump right into this. We want to give you guys a warning at the start that this is going to be totally spoiler filled. There's no spoiler free section, so that's for the film. That's for probably the book if there are changes. So you've been warned, and if you haven't seen it, I don't know what you're doing because it's been out for like 2.5 days. So priorities, guys, priorities.
Yeah, what are you like watching Jessica Jones? Like, who are you? Who does
Yeah.
that,
Oh
right?
yes. Well, true. Well, you know,
Or like listening to Adele and crying. They could be doing that.
I've done that. I've done both of these. I've done all
I've
of
done
these
all of them.
things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, it can be done. If you don't have a life, that's fine. Okay, let's do it. I have already basically said that this is the best film ever. So I'm curious to hear what you guys think. Maybe who saw it most recently?
Hey, it's Kyle, right?
I saw
Kyle?
it last night. I saw it last night at 10.
I saw it last night too.
All right, Kyle, why don't you take it away? What did you think?
I thought it was great. I thought it was. Oh my goodness! Sorry, R2D2. Sorry about that.
Excuse us, the droids are
R2D2
attacking. This is now the Star Wars special.
Apparently, no. I think it was great, and it was well paced on some parts. And on some parts, it was not well paced at all. There are just two major gripes, so I'll get into that later. But I think for the majority of it, I really, really, really enjoyed it, and I think the acting was fantastic, and it was great. And I hated the ending, but that's it.
But you
Yeah, we'll
knew that
get
was
there.
coming, so
Well, we can live in hope. Pam, what about you?
I really, really, really enjoyed this. I felt like it was super faithful to the novel, which is either good or bad, I guess, if you hated the book. But I mean, for most readers, that's like a dream come true. So no complaints on that front. It just kind of like I wanted to reiterate what Kyle said, like some of the acting in this was really good. This was a great movie for Josh Hutcherson. And then, of course, Jennifer Lawrence always kills it. So yeah, I actually I really had like no problems with the pacing at all. I went to see it kind of like later at night, and usually when that happens, since I'm an old lady now, I just get really tired, and sometimes I start nodding off if things don't like aren't interesting or something. And I didn't find that with this. I thought that it was really like well done, and then before I knew it, I was like, wait, we're like already kind of towards the end. We've been here for a while, so I think that when that happens, it's always good because you don't want it to feel slow. So it's better that it passes. Like
Yeah.
at a nice
I like that. It passes the like old lady late at night test.
Yes,
Yeah.
exactly.
Well, I was actually reminded this week, to go on a tangent, that the last film I saw at a midnight release was Catching Fire. Like I dragged a friend to go and see that at midnight, and I realized after that I just can't do this anymore.
I
Like
think it
I
was
was
the
so
same
invested in
for
that
me.
movie
Yeah.
and I just couldn't stay awake. It was too late.
I
My
actually
whole
made
body
it
was like
till
screaming at me.
Mockingjay Part 1. That was the last one I saw, and with my
Oh,
family, and
wow.
we were all just like my headache, it was intense, and all those like really intense close-ups of Katniss, I was like, my eyes, it's too much. And then you know you
Yeah.
have a problem, because
Right. There's a few of those. Yeah. So you didn't do that for Mockingjay Part 2, but how did you like the film?
I liked it a lot. I think I liked Part 1 better. Just because it was such an intimate film, I remember just being really amazed by, because again, Jennifer Lawrence is the, you could just put her on screen and just have her emote, and then that's your movie right there, you know? But I thought it was, and there's a lot of things, and we'll get into it, like there's a lot of small things that I sort of had an issue with. I thought they amped up the love triangle more than it needed to be, and there were a few issues, but overall I thought it was a fantastic conclusion, and I actually I was so worried about going to see this film because I was sure I was just going to be bummed out. I was like, why would I watch this? I know that it's all going to go to crap and I'm just going to be so upset. But I feel like they translated that really well to a movie because it actually was a little bit less upsetting than reading it from Katniss's point of view. So it was, you could enjoy the experience a little bit more. So I think it was really, I was not disappointed for sure.
That's interesting that you say it was less upsetting, but we'll get to that. Mm. I loved it.
Yes.
Surprising no one.
Mamma's just going to start reading aloud her review from Hypeable where she's just like, love it, love it, love it, love it.
Actually, I think my review is like, Andrew's dumb, 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 dumb. Because he wrote his first. And I was like, what? What is it? So yeah,
this is why he's not on the show, guys. Merrima vetoed
because he wasn't allowed on. Yeah, he didn't like it.
That's
enough.
Not true.
He didn't meet the bar. It's definitely true. Yeah, you know, I guess it's kind of a double-edged sword because obviously I really love this franchise, so I had very high expectations, but at the same time, I've obviously liked what they've done in the past. So you know, maybe it gets a bit of a pass. I don't know, but I really, really loved it. I saw it at an afternoon screening, and I saw it with a friend who was also a big fan of the whole series, the books and the films, and with a friend who had only seen the movies and had never read the books. And I felt like that was a very good indication. And I played a funny prank on my friend who had not read the books in the middle of the film. But in general, like, everyone was really engaged with it. And I loved it. I felt like it captured everything that I liked about Mockingjay. And Mockingjay is a book that has grown on me over time. And I felt like the filmmakers really got that. But before we go any further, I have to tell you this funny joke that I did. So my friend is not good with like tension in films. And I actually reviewed on Hype many weeks ago, The Visit, that really scary movie. And I said about how I was with this friend and we were like clutching onto each other and screaming because we're both terrible in horror movies. So this was the same person. So she does not do well with like tension and stress. And so, you know, she keeps looking at me and she's like, well, I know Prim dies. Like, I know that because she's been spoiled.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, well, oh, okay. Well, the ending's ruined for you then, you know, that's the whole thing. That's everything that happens. And she's like, oh, okay, well, that's good then. At least I know what I'm getting, like going into it. And you know, halfway through the movie, I guess me and the other person who have read the books are both like, Finnick, like every time he comes on
screen. Oh God.
and so she looks at me and she's like, does Finnick die in this? And I was like, no. And she's like, no, seriously, like, does he die? And I was like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Like, don't worry about it. And she's like, oh, okay, thank God. And so I swear, as we're
you're
watching the scene. So this is what happens. We're watching the scene and the mutts come like out in the sewers. And I turn to our other friend and I'm like, I just told her that Finnick doesn't die. And she's like, you're a monster. And then in that whole scene where he's fighting, I could just see it on her face. I kept looking from the screen to her face. She was just waiting for him to get out of it. You know, she was waiting for like someone to do something and then for all of them to die. And then when that didn't happen, just the look of outrage on her face before she like physically attacked me was so worth it. It was so weird.
Oh my God. That scene, by the way.
I'm a horrible person.
Just to like, to get it out there, that scene was my absolute favorite in the film because it was so scary. Like, I was sitting next to like, I don't, like, my mother was on one side and someone, my brother was on the other side. And that scene, I don't know how long it lasted for, like 10 minutes of you just waiting. And they go through all those typical scare tactic. It was brilliant directing because every time, you know, the camera kind of panned and you're like, oh, it's going to be behind her, and it's not. And they do like 20 of those. And then finally it happened. And still everyone in the audience just screamed, even though you knew it was coming because they set it up so well. That was the most terrifying thing like I've ever seen.
But yeah, that was actually, I have a question for you guys because I don't know why, and I must reread the book now, but for some reason, I always thought those moths in the sewers were like animals.
Yeah, they look like werewolves just kind of. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's just because they were
like
dogs in the first one.
Werewolves.
Right. Yeah. Because doesn't one of them bite off Finnick's head? Like, in the
book? His neck. Like, and then he's like bleeding from the jugular. It's awful.
Like, this person bit him, and like, they were scary as people, and I kind of liked that, but I just spent the whole time being like, wait, are they not animals? Like,
have I interpreting this whole thing? Yeah, my friend said that My friends and I said that they looked like a mix of like Gollum and like Professor Lupin.
Right.
Like, it's a good Harry point.
Oh, when he's transforming?
Yeah, when he's transformed. Yeah, they look like a mix.
Wow.
That's a good description. That's
a nice comparison. But yeah, it is a good description. Yeah. Okay, so that was all right. Well, let's do positives. That was Selena's favorite. What mm-hmm. were some other people's favorite scenes? I have to say for me, and this is a really small one, but something that stood out to all of us when we left was the scene when Katniss turns up at District 2, or is it when she's at the Capitol? God, I need to watch this again. It's all just blurred into my head. When Katniss, when Katniss sneaks into the Capitol, and she walks off the like hovercraft, and she walks down, and everyone kind of tends to look at her, and they all crowd around her, and then they all do the gesture, and we were all like, oh, so beautiful.
It was,
and I
that
feel
was great.
Like that moment. Really epitomized what I loved about this, which was this film was not afraid to make more of the quieter moments than of the action sequences. And not that the action wasn't good, but they didn't feel like they had to compromise those kinds of small emotional moments that we got in the past films, but that you often don't get in a part two finale, which is like Harry Potter, which is just, you know,
action,
dragons
action,
and fighting.
Action. Yeah.
Action, 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 which is totally fine. But I don't think that's what this film should have scene. And so the fact that they put in a scene like that, which so easily could have been cut for time, I just loved that so much. And also every scene with Joanna, because mm-hmm.
she wasn't in it enough.
I know. I totally agree.
I actually thought that, because I noticed this, and it was funny reading Andrew's review and reading some other people's criticisms. They've said that they thought it dragged on a little bit, and I actually found myself thinking the opposite, because I kind of tend to agree with you that the beauty of the Hunger Games films is that they aren't afraid to linger, you know, particularly part one, which is one of the reasons I like it so much. You know, you had those like 30-second shots of just Katniss's face. And that was it. Like, there was no dialogue, there was no nothing, just her face, because it's what happens to Katniss, and we'll talk about this with this film as well. It's all about what Katniss has to sacrifice for this fight. You know, it's the less involved with the action she is, the more she loses in a way. And I think that the movies did such a good job capturing that, and I almost feel like I wanted more from this. Like, I think that's like my biggest gripe, which is obviously just my gripe because everyone else feels the opposite, but I almost wish they'd taken more time to let her reflect on some of those horrible things that happened, because one of the reasons the book was so hard for me to read and why I've never been able to go back and reread it is because when you experience that much horror first person, present tense, it's overwhelmingly close to you. And the movie, obviously it's a movie, so they have to do it differently, but that's why I felt a little bit more removed from the deaths and from the hardships that she goes through. And I feel like more lingering on that might have made me feel closer to it. It's not like a huge, like, oh, I, you know, that made it bad, but I was just, I thought of that when I was watching it.
No, that totally makes sense. I feel like that's a really interesting point, because that's definitely not what most people's issue with Mockingjay is.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's kind of the opposite, isn't that you want more of that. And,
more of the YA,
you
know, but that's like the YA kind of action, but I sort of feel like I love the fact that Hunger Games is so much more psychological.
Yeah, and in a way, Mockingjay, the book, always felt kind of like it was not part of a different series, but it wasn't tied to this trope of, like, constantly more action, more action, more action in every book that we usually get and that we get in every film. So, yeah, I really appreciated that in part one as well. And I guess if they had done more of it in part two, I would not have been averse to it, because that's one of the things I really love about this series. But I didn't feel like it was lacking.
No.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But if, hey, more is fine. More would be great. What about Pam and Kyle? What were some of your favorite moments or favorite things about it?
So I'm a sap, and I just, the whole real or not real just got me so hard, especially at the end when he's like going crazy and she's just like, stay with me. And then he's like, always, which is obviously like a Harry Potter thing, but it just worked so well. And
what? It's
like...
not a Harry Potter thing. It's a Hunger Games thing. It's
the word always belongs to Harry Potter.
The word always was in the Hunger Games books, guys.
We're kidding.
It was in the Harry Potter.
Don't ruin this anyway. With Snape, okay?
Anyway, the point is that I adored that. And I will reiterate again that, like, the last two movies in this series, just Josh Hutcherson has really, he blew it out of the park for me as far as, like, acting. Because I think we always knew what Jennifer Lawrence could bring to the table, but it was just really nice to see him get some good scenes.
Yeah, so. It was great seeing him shine. It was awesome. My favorite part, which you probably already know, is the part where Katniss shoots coin instead of snow. Because, like, it was great because she's making this whole speech about, like, her arrow staying true. And then, like, me and my friend were like, oh, she has no idea. Oh, this is fantastic. Oh, I can't wait. And then, like, it was great. I was looking forward to that moment the entire movie. And so I think it played out perfectly. And it was just so well done. So, like, I loved it. And then seeing the mob just attack Snow was awesome. Like, mm-hmm. I wish I could have seen what they did to him, because I was really curious.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because just like in towards the end, I know that in the book, like when I was reading it, I had to go back because it felt so rushed for me. Like I had to go back and reread the part about Gale like having a hand in like the bombing that took Prim's life, and just like how that, because it just felt like for me as a reader, it felt rushed. And so yeah. I was curious to know like if that transpired well on screen. And thankfully I went with a nice mix of people, like some who had read the book and some who had not, and the people that hadn't read the book still understood like the gradual like progression of the characters like Coin and like Gale and like what all those things are supposed to symbolize. So to me, that's like a good testament of a good movie where like you can like slowly like introduce elements that are going to make the characters end up where they do, and just have people that haven't read the book still get it and still resonate with that. So
yeah, I had the same experience with the person who hadn't read it. And actually, that's a great point. Let's talk a little bit about the ending, because why not just jump all around? That was a huge criticism of Mockingjay. And, you know, that's partly why I always felt that this was a really good move on their part to split Mockingjay, because everyone who reads that book says, whether they liked it or not, the last 50 pages of that are so rushed. Mm. And they are rushed. Mm. You know, objectively rushed, like compared to just needed more time. If she had written a slightly longer book, I think it would have made a lot of difference. So did we feel like now that we've seen both parts and now that we've seen how they did the ending, was it a good move to split it? Or I think Andrew wrote in his review, he would have rathered one like 3-hour long film rather than two films.
See, my issue is that I think it was a great idea to split it because there's so much, but I think they wasted the split. I don't think they did it well enough, because my biggest issue and like by far is just how little time they spent on Finnick and Prim's deaths.
Yeah,
and the time after the war, and how like that was one thing I hated about the book, is just how she passes out and then we see the war is over, everything's done. They could have spent less time marching through the Capitol and more time dealing with the fact that Prim's dead. Like they barely mention it afterwards. Like Katniss looks at her mom and just says "Mom," and then she gets all sad, and that's to the extent. And then they have the cat scene. They have the cat scene, but yeah, like,
which was great.
Yeah, they were fantastic. But I feel like they just weren't enough, especially since they had this huge opportunity. They had this other movie, or like this whole other film that they could have cut up more evenly to give that more time. And I was really hoping that they would give it more time than it had in the books, and they didn't. And I feel like it was a waste.
Their way of kind of getting around that was bringing the character of Prim forward, because she gets so much screen time in the movie, and like you know they were really pushing that relationship.
Do you
before
think so?
The movie even came
because,
out
because I,
well,
I
they
feel
had
like,
that whole trailer that was
she
just
she
right the trailer
time.
But I feel like in the actual movie itself, thought that it was surprising to me that they didn't use Prim more, because that's actually another reason why the death didn't hit me as hard in the movie. It's funny because the symbolism of Prim's death, I never really got that when reading the book. All I could think was just, this is so unfair, Katniss went through all this crap and now Prim is dead, and what's the point? And it wasn't until I saw the movie that it was like kind of occurred to me that's the whole point. Like the whole entire point is that the war Katniss won the war by losing everything. Like there was never going to come a point when Katniss couldn't win the war without sacrificing the thing that was her life, and that wasn't her own life, that was Prim. And the movie made that sort of overtly clear, but I actually thought that Prim... We know that Prim is important to Katniss because we've seen the previous movies and because we've read the books, but in this movie, she was in two scenes. And one of them was that dumb dance scene literally. Where the camera spun around and it looked really stupid. So
but
I
then
feel
they
like,
gave her the scene that should have gone to some random other person.
Yeah, with PETA. And with that was PETA. Great. But I do kind of feel like when she came back and she died, also because it happened so quickly, I see why they did it. But just for me as a viewer, I would have felt stronger about it if we'd had a little bit more Prim in this movie.
Yeah, I would actually agree with that. I think, you know, they made a big point of Prim in part one, in Mockingjay part one, but they could have done a little bit more to sort of remind us. And I was surprised that they didn't show flashes of her when they were talking about the medics that were in the Capitol or something, just to kind of, but maybe they thought that was giving away too much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I understand if they thought that was giving away too much, but when Katniss is leaving the... when she's leaving District 13, for example, like she talks to Joanna about it and she dances with Prim, but I was a little bit surprised that they didn't have a scene together then, you know, because I feel like that would have been a good place to kind of remind everyone and
Katniss is doing it all for her. And,
reinforce that whole thing about I'm doing this for you and, you know, you'll be safe here and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then that makes the shock much more. But I did like that they gave Prim the scene with PETA. That made a lot of sense. But yeah, you know, I would agree with that. The other thing, in terms of the deaths, I also feel like what we got of Finnick was great, but we didn't get much of him either in this. And I understand why they did that. This was very much the story of the main three, and I get that. And I think they did that really, really well. And, you know, there are sacrifices that have to be made for time and for story and everything. But every time we saw Finnick, I was like, oh, he's so good. I just forgot how, like, not just to look at, which is very good, but, like, he's so great in that role. And I think I noticed it, especially in his scenes with PETA, because you see the friendship
between them. Yeah, those were,
them.
Like, some of the best scenes.
Those
I was
amazing.
Really not expecting that.
Yeah, I think that it made so much sense. And, you know, I do like these films do always seem to understand the various connections between the characters.
Yeah.
You know, because they were like, well, Finnick worked to save Peter's life. Like, remember when that happened? You know, these guys have a bond. They have a bond outside of Katniss. It's not all about Katniss. And, you know, the scene where he's teaching Peter his lines and all of that was so sweet.
Yeah.
And their friendship, I really, really appreciated that. So, again, you know, I would have liked a little bit more of that, but in a way, I do feel like Finnick's death, maybe I felt that more than Prim's. And maybe that's because we had seen him more recently leading up to it. I don't know if you guys
because you had to watch him die in that horrible way and that him too. Calling out to Katniss and stuff. Mm. It was very claustrophobic. Yeah.
But even in the book, I felt that one more than Prim. And then I was really upset because they didn't linger on it as much in the book. I mean, like they didn't linger on it in the movie, but... I don't know. I think I could forgive that more because a movie has a time that they have to hit.
Mm-hmm.
But in a book, it's like you do have time to elaborate.
And you just
on
have to
like
move
that.
On too, which is why I think in the book, obviously, because it's Katniss's inside her head, like you get as she's walking along, she's like thinking about Finnick and thinking about Prim and stuff like that. But in the movie, obviously, she's just walking along.
Right. There's no internal narration.
Oh my God, Bella style.
Yeah, actually, but it's actually Morgan Freeman that is like narrating. Katniss's
or Kristen
thoughts.
Stewart. And she's just like, I didn't know that I would miss him so much until he was gone.
Oh my God. But imagine.
And she's like holding a plant. Okay, never mind.
Yeah. I guess quickly to return to the pacing issue. I'm kind of in two minds about it because I do feel like they did a lot with the time that they had. Mm-hmm. And I feel like more than any other adaptation, and I will argue this to my grave, that this film, it really warranted the split and they made it worth it. And I know some people really like both parts of Deathly Hallows. They really like both parts of Breaking Dawn, like whatever, that's your prerogative. I really like both parts of The Hunger Games. But I do agree a little bit with Kyle, although I felt like they did a better job than the book with the very end of it. You know, I didn't feel that sense when I was reading that, oh, quickly, like I've got 30 pages left, I've got to finish this. I didn't feel that with the film, but I do feel like they could have added an extra like 5 minutes in there, and that might have made a difference just to pad it out slightly. Because even at the end, you know, my friend turned to me and was like, how much time has passed? Because it's suddenly, you know, snowing and everything, and you're like, was that happening before? Like, what's going on? Because you do get the very
and she had the baby all of a sudden.
Yeah, you get that very brief scene with Katniss, like on fire, ha ha ha, when the bombs explode, and then she's in the hospital, and then she's talking to Snow, and then it's the end. Yeah. You know, and I feel like maybe 5 minutes just kind of spread throughout there, where we got more of those moments, like you said, Selena, where we just get to kind of linger with Katniss and maybe see how this is affecting her. And then we could have maybe seen, you know, how like Finnick was affecting her, and more about Prim, and they could have done that maybe with a scene with her mother. I don't know. But yeah, maybe just something to kind of pad it out a little bit so that we as an audience also had time to reflect on, like, everyone's just died. Like, everyone in this film is basically dead, and we have no idea. At that point, we also don't know if Gale is alive or like what's happening with Peter. So all of that tension, I feel, could have been stretched a little more for the benefit of the film. But I definitely think it was better than the book. So
agreed.
You know,
are we going to talk about the love triangle a little bit
before? Yeah, let's do it.
Because that kind of, before we get into the epilogue, I feel like that, or maybe those kind of link together, actually, don't they? Because of the shippery nature.
Well, let's talk about the love triangle, because I really liked what they did with this, but you didn't like it.
Yeah, see, that's it, and it's interesting because actually, and I feel like, because that, and I know I'm not the only one, but I'm obviously there are a lot of people who are really invested in the Gale, Peter, Katniss thing. But for me, in the reading the books, I never liked it. I was like, why does she keep lingering on? Because, you know, I feel like this story is about so much more, and I always kind of felt, and I've read this, and I don't know if it's true, so don't hold me to this, but I've read that Suzanne Collins actually added in more love triangle stuff because, like, she was told to do that. But you can sort of feel that, and I'm inclined to believe this only because when I read the book, I can sort of feel like Katniss doesn't care. Like, Katniss is not into the love stuff because she's like, look, I have my sister, I have the Hunger Games, like, I don't have time for this. So I always sort of felt like, okay, just pick one and stick with it. But I was always Team Peter in the books, just by principle, because you have to be Team something, right? But watching this movie and just having them reiterate her close connection to Gale so much, I was almost like, okay, so why did she not pick Gale again? Like, I almost said, I was like, okay, but this is great. Like, what's the problem? And so I got to feeling that sort of like, oh, another love triangle scene. And like when they had the whole kiss, and that was a great moment, by the way, when she kissed Peter to ground him. But when she kissed Gale and then like she kissed Peter, I was like, I've never been into it. I'm really sorry to people who are. It just, for some reason, it never clicked with me. And I found myself like being Team Gale all of a sudden, which I've never been before.
What?
And then
I know Liam Hemsworth. But, well,
yeah, it and because of their on-screen connection and because of the fact that they are shown to be, you know, partners in crime, and they are doing this whole thing together, and PETA is kind of like a bit of a burden to them, you know, objectively speaking. And I found myself getting a little bit annoyed by that. And so when she sort of had that turn at the end, when she was like, goodbye, Gale. And I was like, cause I've read the book, it makes sense in the book, but in the movie I was like, what? Wait, why?
You know? Wait, really?
Yeah, really. That's like, I don't know. That's just like my gut feeling in that moment. I was like, well, that's random.
Even though he was like responsible for the death of her sister.
Yeah,
probably?
I get it. I do, but I feel like he wasn't, you know, like I'm just like, I was in what they gave us in the movie. I felt like, well, you know what? He put this idea into her head, but I don't know. I'm not saying I was Team Gale. I was just saying, just in that moment, watching that scene, I felt like they had been leading up more to a Gale. It ended very abruptly, is all I'm trying to say.
Well, that's interesting.
But I am, I do like PETA a lot, and I am very happy that they ended up together. And I did not actually mind the epilogue scene that much, ironically enough. So
all right, we'll come to that, but let's keep on the love triangle. Kyle, what did you want to say?
I thought it was stupid. I think I had this problem.
I'm glad I'm not alone.
With the book as well, and it was just like the scene where when they were in the bunker, and basically actually anytime Gale brought it up, because it was always Gale that brought it up. It was never Katniss and it was never Peeta. It was always Gale, and Gale was like, "Oh, guess well, like now, like you're never gonna pick me, or you're always gonna pick him." I'm like, dude, you are fighting a war in which you are all probably going to die. And right now, you're just worrying about who gets the girl. Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah,
like,
it did feel forced. I thought that too.
It felt so forced. And, like, he just, he reminded me of one of my exes because he was just so whiny. And he was just like,
all right,
I want you. And I was like, no, like, stop wanting her. Like,
so
just
Kyle is Katniss.
Her. Like, you know?
Humble brag.
So that's
oh my god, it reminded me of the time I dated Liam Hemsworth. Ugh, it was so annoying. He was so whiny and needy and just
all right, I feel like I need to defend
go for it
now, which is not a place that
I know
actually,
this is weird.
I just found it's that interview so... that you were talking about, Selena. There is an interview with her editor, and her editor says that she asked her to make more of the Peeta Katniss Gale love triangle, but Suzanne was more focused on the war story.
Mm-hmm. See, so that's, I'm glad that. I wasn't making that up, because that is like the exact vibe I got from it, that I was like, well, Katniss clearly wants to be somewhere else. You know what I mean?
I have to defend now.
Yeah, so go for it.
The thing is, I don't even care about the love triangle, and I just don't see it as being a huge issue. I thought what they did with the film was actually really beautiful. Because, well, first of all, it was pretty true to what happened in the book. So that was great. I thought that was good. I never thought that the love triangle was as big of an issue in this series. And I can like maintain that for the films as people make it out to be. You know, I don't think that the love triangle, as it were, was like the core issue at the heart of like these three and the dynamic there. Because you start to see, you know, Gale and Peeta kind of have this like truce or this friendship almost. They're looking out for each other as well, and Gale is. And Katniss and Gale is more about the familiarity of the two. You know, he says, like, I've been hunting with you. I know what it is. So it's like you said, they're kind of partners in crime. But then, you know, everyone else is looking after Katniss in a way. Like, everyone else is trying to protect Katniss, but Katniss is trying to protect Peeta. And I always just found that a really interesting dynamic. And I feel like that carried across well to the screen. I definitely don't feel like the ending with Peeta came out of nowhere. I thought that the way that they made Katniss grow more wary of Gale's tactics was actually done incredibly well and very subtly. You know, when she's looking at his trap and the way he approaches District 2 and all of these things, you know, we start to see the distancing between them. You know, they always have the background, they'll always have the history, but you do see, and we saw it in part one as well, there's this distancing between the two of them in terms of their ideology towards this war. And, you know, I think you really see it when Gale is always, and this happens a lot, and this is always why I was like, oh, Gale, you know, Gale talks to Katniss a lot about, you know, why aren't you more angry, you know, what you've been in the Hunger Games, like you should be angry, you of all people should understand. And she's like, well, you don't know what I'm feeling, like last time I checked you hadn't been to the Hunger Games twice, so why don't you back off a little bit. And the objective thing is like Peeta has been there, and so he understands her in that way, and they all obviously have post-traumatic stress disorder, like to a very high degree in this. And so I really didn't feel like the love triangle was shoehorned in, or it was made more of than in the book, or, you know, that it was amped up. I mean, not even in the marketing material. I felt this was very much Katniss's story as, like you said, the person who had to deal with making all of the sacrifices. It was Peeta's story in that it was dealing with him trying to find himself, you know, in this war. He had been the very like nurturing, the very caring person, and suddenly he's basically a weapon. So he has to basically find who he was at the start. And it's Gale's story of him working out, I guess, how far he is willing to go to win the war. And they all have very different ideas of what winning the war means, you know?
Like
they all want to get rid of Snow, but at the same time they have very different ideas about how they should go about that and like what their priorities are. And so I didn't even think about the love triangle, really. You know, I think it makes sense in a stressful situation like this that you seek something of comfort or you seek the familiarity, which is what I kind of saw Katniss going through between the two. And like you say in the book, she doesn't really care. She's like, I can deal with this. It's not a big deal. This is later, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was the same thing in the film. And I don't feel like it was incongruous to the story to like have this aspect in there.
I mean, you're making a really good point. I think ultimately, just for me, it comes down to two things. Kyle is right. It was almost always Gale that brought it up, which was a bit weird. Like, it felt like he was imposing it on the audience as well. And also just Katniss and Gale's on-screen chemistry. It's just that I think that just distracted me. That's like, because I was saying I'm not Team Gale. I've never been Team Gale. But just seeing the two of their interactions in that movie, I was like, oh.
Oh, so what's that's interesting, because I always thought they kind of had equal, like she had equal with
she
both
did
guys.
In the other movies, I've really seen the chemistry with Peeta. But again, I was kind of going into this blind because I actually chose not to watch anything before or read any of the stuff before going into this because I wanted to know how I'd feel about this just coming into this with nothing. Because I figured like you would probably be rewatching it all, so I was like, "What's it gonna be?" No, you didn't. Oh, I could have done it. Oh.
And I didn't reread the book. Oh. I didn't do any of that. I really like to experience that, you know, firsthand as a film to kind of gauge what I liked about it versus cataloging in my brain everything that was different, which is what happens if I read the book after. And you know, there's always an aspect of that, but yeah, I don't know why I'm not even a shipper, so maybe that's
maybe
I don't notice it as much.
Yeah, like, maybe because you're just like yeah the love stuff whatever, and your mind's somewhere else, whereas I'm like, this is not the ship I'm looking for.
Interesting. I mean, you know, as everyone who sees this, people are gonna get mad about this now, but like, you watch this film and you're like, okay, but in what world would you not choose Liam Hemsworth?
Oh, either one would be good. But I mean, when you're Jennifer Lawrence, you have your pick of pretty much anyone.
And I feel like Liam Hemsworth and Josh Hutcherson as well, they really, you know, as I said, to perhaps the sacrifice of some other characters' storylines, but they really were given a lot to work with in this film.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was to the benefit of the overall result, you know? Yeah. Like, we really do get to see Peeta's breakdown and Gale kind of struggling with this morality that he more than anyone, I feel like, has to deal with that. You know, Katniss kind of has a firmer idea of what she thinks is right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't always align, but like, Gale is kind of all or nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we see in this film, like, how that, the repercussions of that, the very real repercussions, because he's been talking a good game, but like, now he's actually in charge of blowing things up. And I don't know, I thought they were so great. And I also feel like, oh, Josh Hutcherson was just so fantastic in this, like Pam said, in the real or not real scenes. But he has a really difficult job because he's basically rebuilding a character that everyone loves from scratch. And you know, it's difficult to do that without the audience growing frustrated.
You know what, though? I do have to say, like, I think one thing that sort of impeded... No, not me. But when, like, one thing that sort of impeded my my enjoyment of the Peeta scenes is that I had two girls behind me who were clearly Team Gale. And every time Peeta came on the screen, they'd go, ugh, not that guy again. And they'd just like trash talk him. And I was like trying to tune them out. And whenever he was like really vulnerable and stuff, they'd be like, what a loser. And they'd just like, ugh, it was super annoying.
You know what's so funny though? Is like, because we had one guy in our theater all the way in the back. And when Gale was like, oh, like, I don't want your pity cheap kiss, pretty much, they're just like, shut up, Gale! I was like, what the heck?
Actually, I think everyone has that reaction to that line. Like, when he says, oh, it's like you were drunk, so it doesn't count. And my
parents
like, is that true? So, yeah, we're all a little invested. But no, real or not real, and all of those scenes.
That was wonderful.
So good.
Yeah.
And he was so good in this. And
he was really good.
You know, I feel like he doesn't get enough credit. I feel like
everybody's focused on how short he is. And I'm like,
yeah.
The size of a man does not make his talent.
Amen. I just got here for the short part, and I was just like, yes. What were you guys talking about?
Well, Kyle, what you missed is that we were talking about how I think most of the time, especially with all the promo and the red carpets and stuff like that, everyone's like, oh, but like, look at how like nice J-Lo and Liam Hemsworth look together because he's so tall and strapping. And they're like, oh, there's Josh Hutcherson. He looks so tiny. And yeah, but he just.
That's so but that's like know, not so... the, yeah.
Josh he's Hutcherson, so good. Like, he's great.
He's really good.
And he's really nice.
Which is
and
so
like,
funny because he is never like, he was never the PETA I wanted, but I think he was the PETA we needed. So I
the PETA we deserved.
Pretty much. Like, I'm still sad that Hunter Parrish was never cast in this movie, but I will, mad props.
That would be great.
Josh Hutcherson.
Okay, I have a very serious question for you guys to move this on a little bit. Do we think that Haymitch and Effie were banging this whole time?
Oh my god.
Clearly implied.
What?
Yes.
That blew my mind.
Like, they've totally been hooking up on the sly. Like, that's what's going on, right?
Yes. I thought the same thing when that happened and he was like, don't be a stranger. I was like, oh my god, that's what was happening in District 13.
Yeah. No, on the whole like campaign, the whole thing. Yes. Maybe not in the first one, but
as they went, yeah, when they came back for Catching Fire, yeah, for sure.
After that,
and that's like one of those crack ships. It's like Luna, Neville, and Harry Potter, like you never expect them to go there and they're like, yep, fan service, there you go.
My brother turned to me when that happened. He was like, I ship it. Like, boy, I've taught you well.
Me too. God. Now that that's like a ship I could get invested in. Yeah.
I think I prefer that to any sort of Katniss whatever pairing.
Yeah,
like
people ship Katniss Haymitch, which I always found weird.
Crazy.
That's gross.
Because sure he's like people, her dad. So.
I'm sure people ship Katniss and her bow and arrow, but I mean, we're not.
Well, who
ship
doesn't
Haymitch
ship
and
that?
Alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does Haymitch.
So does Haymitch.
Okay. What else do we want to talk about? Does anyone want to talk about any of the other actors before we move on?
Oh, that final scene, though. That one that final scene where Katniss lifts her bow to a coin was just spectacular. It was, amazing. Like, silent in my cinema. And it was such a good... And I felt like they did that moment when she chose to reinstate the games a lot better, too. Because, again, I was one of those people that read the book like really fast and got to that point and just got so angry and threw the book across the room because I was like, "How dare you! Like, what, the Hunger Games?" And I like didn't get it for ages. The movie made it really obvious, so I was like, "Oh yeah." So I really appreciated that.
I think my only problem was like this cast is so stacked that I just wanted more of everybody. Yeah. Like I want more Natalie Dormer. I definitely want more Gwendolyn Christie. And like we just, it's great that they're there, but they're just there for such a short time. And you're like, oh, I wish there was more.
Yeah, that's
more
so
time.
True. I feel like in a way that desire kind of outweighs your need for the characters in a way. You're like, but I just want the actors. The actors are so great.
Right,
so
right.
You're watching it and you can't be objective like, well, I understand why like Natalie Dormer isn't in every scene, but you're like, but Natalie Dormer should be in every scene. Although she had a lot to work with in this and she was amazing. I feel like I need to say that.
She was great. Yeah, she was. And they used her so well too. And of course, Philip Seymour Hoffman, who obviously passed away, they used him really well. And they said they put in some extra scenes of him. That letter thing was weird though.
Also, just to give some love.
Into some...
Yeah, it felt like that.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, some of them, it felt like they had added him in, because I was like, I'm sure I've seen you do that expression, but it was not in this scene, so.
I think that they handled it very cleverly, though.
Yeah,
because,
I agree.
Yeah, it was just, it worked well. It didn't feel out of place. But I was just going to say, just to give some love to, like, a secondary actor, Eldon Henson did a really good job in this one, too, that whole scene where he's, like, leading them through the... like the underground and the sewers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like,
That was well, he was amazing.
Yeah.
So
and afterwards,
well
really, yeah, really moving. I totally agree. Everyone is so good in this. Donald Sutherland is amazing in this. And for the very fact that, like, as someone said to me afterwards, I just can't believe that I believed him as a villain. Like, he's so nice.
Yeah.
He's Mr. Bennett. Like, what? Yeah. What's up with that? And Julianne Moore was so good. Oh, just everyone. Mm-hmm. Just everyone.
Which is so, it's so funny you mention that, because my mom, like, the first time we ever saw The Hunger Games, like, I was like, Mom, we're going to take you to this movie. It's so good. And she's like, oh, Donald Sutherland. And I love him. Like, he's so great.
You're like,
and they're like, oh, just you wait. And she comes out of the theater. She's just like, that was so dark. Think about, like, Thanksgiving, too. And she was like, why did you pick this movie? She was like, really, yeah. She's been taking one of them since, but
yeah, and Joanna was amazing in this as well.
Right. Like, I was missing Joanna, though.
Me too. And,
me too.
You know, I understand why they cut that big training sequence in District 13 from the book, but in a way, I kind of like that sequence more for Joanna than for Katniss when I was reading it, because we really see, again, like, we see the effects of what happened in the Capitol on her, and that scene where it's raining outside and she has to force herself out in the rain because that's how they would torture her. Mm-hmm. And she's obviously like having some kind of episode in the book was so moving when you realize what was going on there, you know, and like stupid Katniss, of course, is like, oh, it's raining, whatever. Like, who cares? You get your hair wet. Like, thanks, Katniss. So sensitive. But I did really miss her in this. And, you know, again, like, I understand why, but Jenna Malone is such a presence when she's on screen that
CGI head.
Yeah, every time you see her, you're like, why haven't we seen more of her? She's amazing.
Yes.
So I definitely missed her, but I didn't miss the training sequence. That made sense to me to cut. Were there any things from the books that you guys were missing, or like any big changes that you didn't like? They kind of changed the way Katniss gets to the Capitol and a few things like that.
I was going to say, interestingly enough, I feel like it was less violent in the movie. Like, they cut out some more of the gruesome things. Because, like, do you guys remember in the book there was a death where, like, this guy is, like, in a beam of light, and then, like, you just see all his flesh, like, deteriorating off of him?
So, yeah.
And just, like, kind of very low-key. It was like, yeah, he died, and, like, something like that happened. But it's not that bad. So
yeah. Also, Boggs's death, I think in the book his legs get blown off. And in this, you just see him... But, you know, they've done that for a lot of the films. Like, that has been a criticism of these films, that they haven't been kind of gory enough to match the subject material. So I wasn't really expecting them to go all in. But, the book is hard to read for a lot of those moments. And I wonder if maybe some of these deaths would have hit you a little harder if they had perhaps been a little more gruesome. I don't know. Like, Finnick's death, although we got to witness it, I did feel like was a little tamer compared to what happened in the book.
Yeah. You know, the part of that scene that just breaks my heart is just him screaming out for Katniss.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And it's just
that,
like,
horrible.
Oh my God. It's and then like they do like very, like, it's not as powerful, but it, like, kind of the same thing happens when Gale gets taken away by the peacekeepers and he's like, shoot me, shoot me, shoot me. And she can't do
it. Oh God. I thought that
it's
was
just
horrible.
Like little moments like that is really what make this movie so great.
Yeah, it's the emotional moments. It's the character moments. All right, well, we mentioned it at the start, but let's talk about the... I like Selena's note in here. Let's talk about the terrible epilogue. My notes on which are why. And Selena's note is, compare it to Harry Potter and it's the best scene in the world.
Well, I feel like that set a standard that made this almost good.
Right. Okay, so the benefits of this scene.
And they didn't do slow motion running like in Twilight. You know, there's a lot of good stuff to say.
So true. They didn't give them like weird CGI faces.
No.
So, you know, the benefit of this, of course, being like they're already working with adults, so they didn't feel the need
to. Yeah, and the time jump wasn't that much. Yeah. So it was okay. And the kid was so cute. I feel like the entire scene was justified by that kid being so cute.
Yeah.
Like, you could even forgive Peeta's hair because he was just so cute.
When he, like, jumped onto Peeta and Peeta was like,
Josh Hutcherson was so cute in that scene. He cares about the kid.
He was so happy.
Okay, so a quick vote. Like, who liked the epilogue? I did not like it.
I wish they'd stopped at the scene with them in the bed. When they got to the epilogue and I was like, okay, this is happening, I actually thought it was all right. I thought it could have been a lot worse.
It could have been worse, but I still didn't like it. Mm. All right. Pam and Kyle?
Did you guys not like it in the book? Because I felt like as a scene, it was probably
I liked it in the book.
Okay. Because I feel like, I mean, it's not as, my brother and I were talking about this morning too over breakfast because he hasn't read the last book. I think he only read the first one. But I was telling him that like in the book, it's the most real scene there is in the whole series because she can't ever have a happy life. Like, she's always going to be like this person that's suffering almost from PTSD. And in the movie, it kind of made it sound like, she, you know, like those ladies that are like really depressed and then they're on like all these like antidepressant pills and they're just like, I'm happy because I'm medicated. Just the way she's talking to her kid, that's the vibe that I got. Like, I'm sure it was supposed to be comforting, but.
But also because it was so, because they cut out the thing about PETA still wanting to attack her. I think that's what made it, because in the book it was great because like it, she had moved on and she had found some peace, but we had that sense of like, well, it's never going to be amazing. Like, she has lost everything and she's just trying to rebuild from whatever she can. But in the movie, it was almost like too sweet because, again, the kid was so cute and PETA was so happy and she was happy. And it was like, it was totally, it was jarringly different from anything else we've seen in the Hunger Games, because it was like legit bliss. And I think that's what felt weird. Even though she was talking about her nightmares, we didn't see her nightmares.
Right. I would agree. Even in the book, we get the hint because we're inside of her head. She's saying, you know, she's watching her kids play in the meadow and it's like basically on the graves of all the people who died in District 12. And like, and things like that cut into the scene and get rid of that kind of saccharine element to it where you're like, oh, like, so nice. Why is everything so happy? I don't understand. So I guess for what it was, it wasn't, you know, the worst thing in the world, but it was certainly my least favorite part. And if they had ended on the scene in the bed and left it kind of open-ended, I would have probably preferred that. But I understand why they felt like they needed to include it, but I didn't like it.
I agree. I would have preferred if it ended with the scene in the bed. I think the meadow scene was just overly cheesy a little bit. Like, it was just like, okay, all right, well, there's a classic, like, meadow, kids playing in the meadow, like, scene, and, like, a happy mom. I was like, okay. But, like, also, one of my things with the epilogue, and I think it has to do more with the book and the way that it was written, was just how when they went home, and it was just basically just the three of them, just hanging out in District 12. And, like, in my head, I'm like, where is everyone else? Where are you?
Yeah.
How are you going to buy food? How are you going to... And, like, she went hunting, obviously. But, like, I was just like, where is the sense of community that District 12 had? Like, I guess that's my question, I guess, for Suzanne Collins is, do people go back to District 12? Do they try to rebuild it? Are they just on their own in the middle of nowhere now? Like, what's happening?
In the book, they do go back. Like, in the book, some people go back.
Okay.
But in the film, we don't see any of that. In the film, it's them and like Uncle Hamish and probably Effie when she stops by.
Yeah. They'll have some kids. It'll be all great.
Whenever it's a long weekend in the districts. All right. Yeah. So if you want to let us know your thoughts on anything we have talked about, you can tell us on the post for this podcast on hyperbole.com. You can send us a tweet at hyperbolehype, or you can email us. hype@hyperbole.com. We love getting emails and we've got some feedback to get to. Before we do, I want to mention a couple articles. We've talked about some of these and we, of course, have our reviews up on Hyperbole. We'll link to these in the show notes so you don't have to write them down. The reviews in which I am right and Andrew is wrong because he didn't like it and that's why he's not allowed on the show. We had the kind of retrospective I did of the Hunger Games films, which we talked about on our most recent episode of Hype that people really liked. We also have a fantastic article about Joanna, which Ariana wrote, about why she was the hero the Hunger Games deserved. And I love this because I'm pretty sure we're all team Joanna. So yeah, this was so good. And then some new articles I wrote. This was my last Hunger Games one for the week. I couldn't seem to control myself. Were Hunger Games movie spin-offs that we would kill to see because I thought that was a funny headline.
Fennec!
Yeah, so I want to ask you guys because Danielle also wrote an article about why she didn't want spin-offs or things like that based on, you know, the kind of subject material and how it felt like it was sort of glorifying it, which we will link to. But what do you guys think? Would you be into spin-offs or do you not want
them? I feel really bad
principle?
For being that enthusiastic after knowing that she did that. But I do agree in theory, except that I have to admit, like, I'm really interested in these people's backstories. You know, I wouldn't want like new stories. I wouldn't want like sequels or whatever. But I want Fennec's Hunger Games. I want Joanna's Hunger Games. I want Hamish's Hunger Games. And like, I know maybe that's like weird and gross, but I feel like getting to see how those people became the people that they are would be so fascinating to me as a fan of those characters. Not because I'm like, yay, more children death, but since we have this concept of the Hunger Games and we have these fantastic characters, I feel like there's a reason to go back and look at their stories.
Right. You know, I mean, with Finnick specifically, though, I think that like she could even get away if she wanted to write a Finnick book, like not necessarily doing Finnick's Hunger Games, but he's just so interesting, like afterwards, because he's so ingrained in the culture of the capital.
Yeah.
And if they played it out that way and then just had him have like flashbacks of his games, I think that could be its own like at least 2-part series if they tied in like how caring he was with Annie and stuff like that after she came back. I think that
and why
would
he did what he did
series.
To like keep her safe and stuff. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be fantastic. And that would give us such an as well, because the Hunger Games as a concept, it's terrible, but it also is something that allows you to get an insight into someone's mind who is going through something as traumatic as that. You get to know these characters through this situation. And that allows you to explore something psychological within yourself. You know, I mean, that's what the Battle Royale book does as well. And I feel like it's very valuable to explore it through a venue like that. And I don't think it would necessarily be a bad thing to look at some other stories like that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if we're kind of putting everything on the table, like obviously this is a business and they want to make money, but like so is Harry Potter and Fantastic Beasts. They might be making it because they want to tell the story, but that's going to make them a lot of money as well. And no one, well, maybe some people, but people are not saying to the extent that they are about Hunger Games, that that's like a cash cow, the way that a Hunger Games spinoff would be a cash cow. And I agree with you, Selena, totally. I think that it depends on the way they approach it and the story that they're telling. If they just tell a sequel for the sake of a sequel, then I would be very uncomfortable with that. But, you know, what these films have done so well is showed the effect of this violence on people. It's not about glorifying the violence. It's about looking at the trauma of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Finnick is a prime example of that. I wrote in the article, they could easily do a Finnick trilogy if, you know, they can get Sam Claflin along for that.
Yes.
Because
oh my God.
His relationship with Annie, his relationship with Mags, who was his mentor, you know, seeing how he was different in the games because he was a career tribute. Like there's just so much to look at and it's so different from Katniss's experience. So it would offer a really great point of comparison. But anyway, I digress. we can all agree that the theme park is the worst idea in the world, though, I think.
Oh my God. Not even a Finnick themed theme park would be.
No. Yeah, this is terrible. And we've talked about this on Hype some more. So I think let's just jump straight into listener feedback.
All right.
Cool. So, Selena, do you want to grab that first email?
Yes. Eileen wrote us an email, which is hype@hypeable.com, if you guys want to send in your emails as well. She said, just saw the movie. I could write a novel about it, but I'll keep it short and sweet. Did I like it? Yes. Could it have been better? Probably, but not much. Favorite part? Donald Sutherland's acting? Plucked. Winky face. Most disappointed about Prim and Finnick's deaths. I was expecting to sob like a baby. It was sad, but I didn't really shed a tear. In conclusion, I left the theater with a melancholy feeling, which means they did a good job with the movies because that's how the books made me feel. Thanks, Eileen. It's kind of what we've been saying as well.
Yeah, that's a great summary. Okay, over on Twitter, we had so much feedback. Wow.
Yes. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone says that it wasn't good. And if you did, I've probably censored you out, so my bad. Taka said, is it just me or do you think there was less hype about the Mockingjay movies than Catching Fire? And in hindsight, I actually totally agree.
He actually sent a follow-up just like 15 minutes ago saying, you know, you can tell it's not as popular as it used to be when it's not even trending on Twitter on release day. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's none.
What? Wow.
That's true. And I wonder if that's because people were sort of apathetic towards the book or because Mockingjay Part 1 was a very different film than we have expected. I don't know. I wonder what it is about that. But I would definitely agree.
Yeah, it was really interesting, too, because last night I saw it at 10 o'clock and I saw it at the like Downtown Disney Theater, which and it was like packed at Downtown Disney when I like walked in. But then I went to the theater and there wasn't like there was like six people in the line.
Yeah, mine was total. Not that. Mine was definitely not full at all.
Yeah, and the audience, like the theater, wasn't filled, and like I was questioning it. I was wondering if it was because midnight releases just aren't a thing anymore, and it's not nearly as exciting anymore to go to a movie the night it premieres, because like there's so many viewings and like people can pick whatever time they want before midnight to see it. And I was like wondering if that was the cause, or if it was because Hunger Games just wasn't nearly as popular, and I couldn't tell.
You know, I'm not sure. I don't want to say Hunger Games is not as popular, because I think that the fandom is still very much alive, but I think that as a movie, like there's a difference between, you know, a passionate online fan base and like moviegoers. It's not like a destination. It's not like a monumental release. Like something like Star Wars is going to completely be kind of that old school feel where everybody's lining up like 2 hours before.
I'm so excited.
Things like that. And I have a feeling that like Fantastic Beasts, when it comes out, at least the first one, will probably garner that same attention. But for everything else, it's almost like they're trying to make the midnight release happen, and they've just kind of stopped trying because it hasn't garnered as much attention. But nowadays, like you can see, there were movies at 8 o'clock on Thursday.
The
movie came out on Friday, so it just doesn't. Yeah. Nowadays, I mean, like it's like the release dates. I always get so confused when I'm writing stories about when movies are coming out, because I go, oh, well, like I'm going to go see that movie on Thursday, so like it must come out on the 19th. And then my editor's like, no, it comes out on the 20th. I'm like, well, then why do I have tickets for the 19th? And it's at like 8 o'clock. It's definitely the 19th. So I don't know. But
I would actually say that Hunger Games definitely doesn't have as big of a fandom. I think that's pretty like clear online and in the general public. Like you say, there just isn't. It's just not like comparable to something like Harry Potter or Twilight, you know, and neither does Divergent. Like I don't think we've seen another franchise that's really hit that point since those. And you see it at things like midnight releases, because people don't want to line up, you know, they're like, well, I'll see it tomorrow. Like, you know, I'm going to see it on the first day, but it's the difference between seeing it on the first day, like after work in the evening, and seeing it on the first day and like ruining your sleep for the day because you have to see this the minute that it comes out.
And maybe we're all just getting old.
We're all too old.
Like we can't stay awake and we just lose the experience because we just want to sleep.
Right. Yeah. Well, the people who kind of grew up reading these books now, yeah, we're all sort of young adults and we're like, man, I have a job. Like I can't go to a movie at midnight. Are you crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's a great point, Tucker. So we have more feedback on Twitter. I think let's just run through each of these.
All right. Yeah. Well, we will move on with Xenia Svensson, maybe?
Xenia.
Xenia?
Yeah.
All right. She says, or he says, I'm not sure. They say.
It's a girl.
Okay, perfect. I don't have like the icons up, but so she says, an epic finale, and I loved it. It honored the book so well. I am pleased. And I think this tends to be the general consensus, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then Laura Baptista says, amazing. Josh and Jen were so great. Agreed. I totally and completely agree.
Young Padawan says, I'm still a mess. I can't think about it yet. That's it.
Totally understandable. Yeah, that's how I feel.
tell us what you feel after you thought about it for a while.
Yes.
Yeah, we can talk about it on our normal hype when we record next week. Okay, Vera says, I did not expect the kiss between Haymitch and Effie. So many feels.
Right there with you.
We feel
totally.
That.
What is that ship called? Heffy?
Haymitch?
Oh, yeah.
Effage.
So fetch.
Yeah. Effie.
We should Effie. Just call it fetch and be done with it.
It's so effage. Yeah.
But we should try to make fetch happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Marie says, loved it. Movies made me love Haymitch, Effie. Josh and Jen were amazing. Rue mentioned, still got me tearing up. Perfect ending.
Oh, Rue.
I know. I'm still not over her. Hannah Ansari, is that your real last name? Because that's amazing. says, just finished Mockingjay Part 2, loved it, and Marima nailed it. These movies are the best YA adaptions ever.
Woo!
Woo!
Megan Stannard says, so good! This was the best book-to-film series ever made, Mockingjay Fields.
Oh my god, I love the enthusiasm. This is great. Shauna says, speaking of kick-ass ladies, can we get some love for Jenna Malone in The Hunger Games? She is amazing. I totally agree. After we get our Finnick trilogy, we need a Joanna one, please.
Yes.
ASAP.
And finally, Michael, Giustini. Sorry if I butchered your name. You gave me all the hard ones. Michael says, a fitting end to a fantastic franchise, particularly impressed by Josh Hutcherson's great performance. He was the film's MVP. I totally agree with you, Michael. I'm right there with you.
I love and, the like, love.
I love how everyone is so positive, but like, if you guys, if there's anyone out there who like really disliked it, like, please let us know, because like, we're just like a chorus of like excited, happy fangirls and fanboys right now. But like,
no, we talked about some issues.
For sure. But I don't think, like, we've talked about the issues, but we still like the movie as a whole. And I haven't met anyone other than Andrew that has disliked the movie.
Right. So, well, that's why really Andrew's not allowed on Hype again. And, you know, if you send us hate mail. No, I'm kidding. Definitely, like Kyle said, definitely let us know. We would love to hear what you guys think. If more of you have seen it since we recorded this, you may not have been able to get your feedback in for this show, but we will definitely be talking about this as we continue on. We've got this ridiculous theme park news and everything is happening, so don't worry.
Can you guys believe it's
not be disappearing,
it's over, you know? Like, I know it's maybe weird. We'll have more movies, maybe we'll have more books, but this is it, it's done.
I need to see it again. Like, I need to go and see it again, because I need to digest it another time. And now that I know everything that's happening, and then I'm just refusing to accept that, like, it's all done, because I don't know. It's weird. I'm not really in the Hunger Games fandom, like, the way that I would say I'm in, like, the Harry Potter fandom, but I just love these movies so much. So it's hard times.
Should we end by all trying to do our Mockingjay whistle? I'll start. Are you guys ready?
Yeah, here's mine. Pam?
But my...
Oh, brag.
I was supposed to follow that up. That's it.
Yeah, well, you're better than us.
Selena and I just blew it.
Oh, my God.
That's
very good.
That sounded like wind coming through a window.
Yeah, well, you know, Kyle, don't rub it in any more than it's already.
Yeah, it's very hard for us.
We've revealed our flaws as people.
Mr. 12 sign of respect. You know, involves no whistling.
What exactly. Happened to us in the Hunger Games, we wouldn't be able to communicate with Katniss. We'd all be dead. Because she'd be like,
whistle.
We'd be like,
we'd have to repeat messages to the mocking Jade.
Yes.
Yeah. Because that wouldn't be at all. Like, people would find us.
Katniss, I'm in the tree.
We're like, cuckoo.
The mock on your left. I'll wait. I'll wait before you come by. Don't worry. We'll see. I'll stand. All right, well, that's it for this. Hopefully you got something out of it and it wasn't just totally silly. I'm sure we'll have more to say on our regular Hype, which will be coming at you this week with all the latest news, as always. Until then, let us know what you think on Twitter or on Hypeable, or send us an email or post something on our Instagram, because I remembered to post a photo this week.
Oh, cool. Do you want to give all those addresses so people know if they're listening to this without having listened to Hype, which it could happen?
Yes, if you haven't had any of our contact information in the last four times we've said it in this episode, you can get in touch with us on email. We are hype@hypeable.com. You can tweet us. We are hypeable@hypeablehype. And we are the same on Instagram @hypeablehype. And of course, you can always leave us a comment on this podcast post on hypeable.com, which is hypeable.com. And if you like the show, why don't you subscribe on iTunes or leave us a review? Because, hey, that would be nice. But, you know, whatever. I don't think you can leave whistle reviews, though, so you might have to actually write one out.
That'd be great, though. We'd appreciate that.
Be great. Yeah. Now I'm just going to get a whole lot of tweets and people of, like, audio recording them whistling, being like, haha, like, you're inadequate. Okay, maybe don't do that.
We're so far advanced, and that's why we can't whistle.
We've advanced beyond whistling.
Yeah. You know. Evolved.
Now we podcast. Whistling. That's our thing.
Yes, exactly.
Sure. Can you take podcasting equipment into the Hunger Games?
Maybe hopefully. That would probably
maybe we could make podcasting equipment in the Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is so true. All right, let's end it there before this gets any more ridiculous. So until then, We'll see you next time. I'm Marima.
I'm Selena.
I'm Pamela.
And I'm Kyle.
Do the whistle again.
Bye, guys.
We'll just do the finger sign. And
push the sound of a muffin break.
Really sad is I just remember that Pollux, who's an Avox, can whistle in the first part of Fucking Jay, and he has no tongue. And I wheel. This is so.
We're just so bad at life.
Oh, I'm glad we found each other, though. We need a support group.
Yeah. And we can make the sound of a mockingbird flying away, so what more do you need?
Exactly.